Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the evening. Thank you, Lord, for life and health and strength. And Lord, just for this wee bit of time aside from the world, I pray that you would bless it and take it as a time, Lord, we've turned up to do business with you. I pray that you would work in our hearts and minds and through us in our lives and the lives of those around us. You know all of our needs, Lord, and I pray, please, that you would please grant our prayer requests. Mm-hmm. You would fulfill our needs. You would put your good hand upon Steve and Pat to Will, Frank, Lane, Dr. Shine, Norman, Monica and myself, and Charlotte and Colin. I just pray, Lord, for your will to be done there. For those that have slipped and slid, for those that are compromised, Lord, I pray for a restoration. Even in these last of the last days, that your children would be motivated and inspired to stand up and be kind. I just love you and thank you. Pray your good hand upon us. I pray, Lord, please, you be one of our number. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Right, let's sing a song or two. Take the big books, if you would. And number 236. 236. 236 is No Not One. We have five verses, so we'll be well practiced by the time we come to the end of the... 236. We'll remain seated.
No, not one. No, not one.
scoot over to the wee black books for our next hymn. That'll be number 31. The King of Love, My Shepherd Is. Number 31 in the wee books. We're all good this evening for exercising our vocal cords a wee bit, I hope. Hymn number 31. If you're able, why don't we stand as we sing?
God is your refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the stream whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved, he uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us, God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolation he has made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth, to break the bow, and cut the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. But still, and knowing that I am God, I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Amen.
Thank you, Norman. Short and sweet. Some good verses there, those first two. God is our refuge and strength, very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried. Thank you for that, Norman.
Amen.
Now, we have a number of extra prayer requests. Before I mention these, does anybody have any prayer requests that they'd like out? You waiting for thanks?
Yeah.
Do you have any thanks?
My car bag.
Now, I want you to pray for our car now. You, a lady that worked with me in Desmond's, and occasionally the work that we required, that we had required, that sometimes we drive to the factories, and she just always wanted to drive her car because other cars were not her car. So I know where you're coming from. Amen. Norman, all good? Just private prayer requests?
Yep.
Yeah.
Brian, coming back on the 18th of December.
Oh, right, for holidays.
Yeah. He applied for work from home.
Oh.
From 18th, from 19th to 29th in December.
That'll be the 18th to the 28th, he'll be here.
Yeah.
I'm sure you'll be glad to have him about.
You just have my brother.
I'm sure if you ask him, he'd sing happy birthday. That's nice. So, travels and that's nice. That's nice. Amen. I hope he does that for many years to come. We have been, these are connections of Pat's and Steve's. There was a wee woman by the name of Meta or Meta Spratt who was in palliative care. She passed away just a day or two back after losing a fight with cancer. So please we pray for the Spratt family at this time. Her one sister, two sisters ended up in hospital. Pat's two sisters. Flo Florence got two knees replaced. And her other sister thought she was having a problem with her stomach. They're hoping that they will both be home before too long. Amen. So please do pray for that. Do pray for Naomi Baker, that's Will's sister. She has a problem with gluten. She's trying to get that sorted away, so please do pray for them. I think that's about that. Amen. Church car. Don't forget that. A bunch of stuff going on. I have a new front door to go in. I have a leak at the front of the church that needs to be fixed. My contractor is busy doing fireplaces, so please be careful. That's normal. There's a bunch of stuff going on. The Lord knows all the things that we have going on in our hearts and in our minds and the things that's bothering us. So just continue talking to him about them. Life does get so much easier when you talk to someone who knows what's going on. So please do remember that. Please do pray especially for Colin and Charlotte. Seems to be a little bit of distancing going on there, but nothing unexpected. And I think that's about that. There's nothing else, is there? Home. Monica's mom got home. She still has some medical issues, but we are thankful that she got home. Okay, that's that. Anybody got anything else? No? Let's pray. And then we'll have another song. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we can come boldly into the holiest through the blood of your Son, Christ Jesus, and that you're never tired of hearing from us. And you've always got an open ear to us, Lord. And I pray, Lord, please, that you would grant our private prayer request. You know, the family issues that we have, the health issues that we have, the legal issues that we have. I just thank you, Lord, that you love us. And we know, Lord, that goodness, if people just let you into their lives, so many of their problems will be sorted. But we pray you, Lord, even now, even in the hearts and minds of those that are lost, that you would speak to them, that you would convict them, that you would show them what's the right thing to do. Not just in our private prayer request, Lord, but also amongst our leaders, especially the new Prime Minister of Great Britain. I pray you please, Father, that you would greatly constrain him and those about him to be doing the right thing, and not just to be building the kingdom for themselves, Lord. So much going on. I know that you know, Lord, and so much of it has just been included in your word that it's not really a surprise the way the world's going. But I pray you please that Christians would be woken up, that old sermons and messages and scripture readings would come to the fore, and that you would put them together in people's hearts and minds and help them to understand and not be afraid of them. I do indeed thank you for all that you have done for us, not the least of which is granting a prayer request, but most of all, Lord, for your Son Christ Jesus, for the good sense to accept him as Savior. But upon that, Lord, let us go onwards, and let us always be true to you, Lord, always looking to point souls to the foot of the cross. I pray that you would bless us with success in our endeavours, according to your will. I pray that you would lead us and guide us and give us a good sense to listen. You would bless the recollection of your word whenever we need it. And Father, I just pray that, Lord, most importantly, for your will to be done. For the Spratt family at this time, for the Baker family, for the families of those that lost loved ones in Creasley, and for those that are in hospital even now. For the families of the two young fellows that drowned in Enoch Lock there a month or two back. Lord, I pray that you would soothe aching and grieving hearts. And Father, that you would comfort us as we consider those that have been with us for a while and gone on to be with you. Please bless and keep and provide and provision and comfort and make bold and wise and give us overcoming power, Lord, these days as we step out into the world. In the meantime, Lord, whilst we sit here, I pray for should we taste the peace for most important your will to be done. You know, Lord. Leave these things at your feet. I pray you, Lord, for Christians to make good decisions. And all this we ask in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Alright, got another song to sing. Today we're going to open our Bibles, because I think the pastor has spent a lot of time sitting out the front. And I was already considering just singing three hymns this evening. 377 is Rescue the Perishing. 377. If you'd like to stand as we sing.
Glory, 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 glory.
and looks on one side for a little bit. If you'd like to take and turn to Judges 12 this evening. Judges chapter 12. That's the sex of this it's number Deuteronomy Judges. Judges chapter 12. Deuteronomy Joshua Judges. Sorry, my apologies. There's only 15 verses in this portion of God's Word. We're going to read them all. Judges chapter 12. And I want to spend a little bit of time on the subject of peace and quiet. Peace and quiet. Amen. Judges 12. But the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and went northward and said unto Jephthah, wherefore pass thou over to fight against the children of Ammon, and didst not call us to go with thee? We will burn thine house upon thee with fire. And Jephthah said unto them, I and my people were at great strife with the children of Ammon, and when I called you, ye delivered me not out of their hands. And when I saw that ye delivered me not, I put my life in my hands, and passed over against the children of Ammon, and the Lord delivered them into my hand. Wherefore then are you come up unto me this day to fight against them? And Jephthah gathered together all the men of Gilead and fought with Ephraim. And the men of Gilead smote Ephraim because they said, Gileadites are fugitives of Ephraim among the Ephraimites and among the Manassites. And the Gileadites took the passages of Jordan before the Ephraimites. And it was so that when those Ephraimites which were escaped said, let me go over, but the men of Gilead said unto them, art thou an Ephraimite? And if they said, nay, then said they unto them, unto him, say now, Shibboleth. And he said, Sibboleth, for he could not frame to pronounce it right. Then they took him and slew him at the passages of Jordan, and there fell at that time of the Ephraimites 42,000. And Jephthah judged Israel 6 years. Then died Jephthah the Gileadite and was buried in one of the cities of Gilead. And these are our text, if you like, verses for tonight. You might never hear these names mentioned again. You might never have heard of them up until now. You might never hear of them again, but you'll hear them tonight. And after him, Ibzan of Bethlehem judged Israel, and he had 30 sons and 30 daughters whom he sent abroad, and took in 30 daughters from abroad for his sons. And he judged Israel 7 years. Then died Ibzan and was buried at Bethlehem. And after him, Elon, as in Elon Musk, but not the same guy, a Zebulonite judged Israel, and he judged Israel 10 years. And Elon the Zebulonite died and was buried in Aijalon in the country of Zebulun. And after him, Abdon the son of Hillel, a Pirathonite, judged Israel. And he had 40 sons and 30 nephews that rode on 70 ass colts. And he judged Israel 8 years. Then Abdon the son of Hillel, the Pirathonite, died and was buried in Pirathon in the land of Ephraim in the mount of the Amalekites. Those last handful of verses, those are our texts. We're not going to be reading too much into them. I just wanted for you to know the names, and we're going to be speaking on the subject of peace and quiet. Amen. Let's have a quick prayer and then we'll go on. Lord, just be with us now as we spend this time studying your word and thinking upon the things that's in it. And I pray, Lord, that we could, that if there's something there that we could use, that you would show it to us this evening. And also with all those with the full counsel of your word and preaching, we pray especially for Donald Seeley and the folks in Grace Bible, for John Asquith and the folks in Black Creek, for Ed and Joan Bissett as they minister to the people in Temple Patrick. I pray too for Glenn Wilkinson, the folks up in Alton Galvin, for Johnny Campbell, for Stan Cullen, for Lord, the very many that love you and want to serve you and see folks saved, I pray you please put your hand upon us all. Bless this time in your word and in your presence. Please help us. Amen. All right. Amen. These last three men, the first one was Ibzan, the second one was Elon, and the third one was a fellow called Abdon. And you probably read their names, but probably never actually heard very much said about them because they were not very notable. The most remarkable thing about these three judges is that they all had, some of them had, well, large families. And there wasn't one boar that was caught whilst they, they said the same thing about President Trump. Not one war was started under President Trump. And yet they were talking about nuclear war halfway through Joe Biden's service to the country, in quotes and brackets. This was the most ordinary time in the reign of the children of Israel. A relatively quiet time. No mention of fighting. There's no mention of any family drama. There's no mention of assassinations. There's, let me see, there's 7 years, 10 years, and 8 years, 25 years of peace and quiet. 25 years. And yet nobody knows them. When we speak of the judges, the first of the judges was Moses, and we know all the stuff that he brought the children of Israel through. And even he himself let God down whenever God was trying to perfect the example of the rock that followed the children of Israel. First time God said to Moses, strike the rock and water will come out of it. Second time, you speak to the rock and water will come out of it. But the children of Israel had gotten on Moses' nerves so much that he struck the rock again, just like he had the last time. The Lord was gracious in watering the children of Israel, but he said, Moses, you didn't listen to me. You're in a very prominent position, and the things that you do matter. Because you struck the rock instead of speaking to it, you will see the promised land, but you won't enter in. We know that Moses didn't actually want to be a judge. He said, I can't really speak. I'm not oratorical enough. Maybe that's the right word. And remember the Lord said, and look, I made your tongue. I made man's mouth. I can make it do anything. And he said, anyway, here's Aaron, your brother. He'll be your spokesman. And you know about all of the battles Moses fought and the strife that he had with Aaron and was it his sister? When they tried to take the throne, if you like, and then there was Hiram and a few others tried to set themselves up as judges and the earth opened up and swallowed them up. There was a lot of stuff went on under Moses' reign and he did a good job. He did a very good job. 40 years he led them through the wilderness. He was the first judge. Then we had Samson, or we will have Samson if you read on from here. You're talking about the start of Samson. He was the strongest judge. He was muscly strong. And you read some of his endeavors about him beating the living daylights out of 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of an ass. We've got politicians that can do that as well today, only they're talking about tens of thousands and millions. He was the strongest. He was also the fastest. He caught all these foxes and tied their tails together and set them running through crops. He took a lion and broke it up like you would take the meat off of a chicken. Of course, he fell to the smooth words of a woman that just wore him down, but Samson was the strongest judge. Then we have Jephthah. He was the hasty judge. He's just, if you read the previous chapter, the thing that stands out about Jephthah was that God spoke to him and told him that he needed him to go out and represent the country, and he did. And he said, I promise if you'll give me the victory that I will offer the firstborn the first thing that comes out of my front door whenever we come back. I go, what do you think is going to come out of the front door of your house whenever you come back? And of course, we, as you read on, we find out that his only child, a little girl, came out to welcome him back, and so that he had to offer her as a burnt offering to keep in right with God. Always mind what it is that you say. You have Eli. Does anybody know Eli? Well, before we go to Eli, let's talk about Elisha and Elijah, the powerful judges. They made things happen. They had quite literal miracles happen whenever they acted and spoke on behalf of God. They had droughts, they had chariots of fire, they had fire coming down from heaven. They had all bunches of stuff happen whenever they were endeavoring to judge the people. Then you had Eli. He was the lax judge. He never took his boys in hand and taught them how to behave properly, and they were causing rack and ruin amongst the people. And then we had Samuel. He was the last judge, and after Samuel was the king. And every single one of them had stuff happen in their lives. Eli had God come down to Samuel and deliver a prophecy about how his sons were going to be put to death. And him too. And Samuel went on to make some of the same mistakes. But there was always stuff happening. Battles to be fought. Pagans to be put down. Goodness, there was always stuff happening, but these guys didn't. These other judges had to beat enemies back. They had to demonstrate God's power. If you're ever reading Judges, a lot of it reads like a boy's own adventure book with all the things that's going on. But these three men, and I even have to, Ibzan, Elon, and Abdon, they had nothing. They hardly merited maybe two or three chapters apiece. And that's it. Most folks would never even remember them. They lived their lives without any problems. They had peace along their borders. They didn't have to lead the children of Israel into war. They just got on with the business of keeping Israel going. And you know, it's good to have a wee bit of peace and quiet from time to time. I know that some people crave excitement and crave the adrenaline rush. But it's good to have peace and quiet. In times of peace and quiet, you have time to reflect and time to grow. You have time to raise families and raise children. And we see now, we know that these men that had large families, they didn't have their large families in the few years that they were judges. They were already raising their families right. You can't live with your heart pumping at 120 beats per minute and adrenaline flooding your body at every moment of every time. That causes problems to people, and a lot of, especially in the armed forces, when people are literally living in war zones, it does not have a good effect upon the mind and the body. PTSD is one of those things where you just literally can't switch it off. The Word of God gives us a lot of advice on warfare. Those times the Lord said to, I think it was Joshua, you need to outflank these guys and then have somebody draw them out of their town, I think it was Ai, and then come in behind them and burn the town to the ground, and the heart will go out of them, and then you can go in and kill everybody and you'll win. Or I'll go out before you and I'll kill them all. Or you go ahead, kill them all, and you can, and any of the valuables, can bring them into the church. Bring them into the synagogue. The goal's mine. God had plans for fighting and for warfare and for toughening up the children of Israel so that whenever anybody heard of them coming, they were afraid. But there has to come a time when that stops. It's hard to build when you're in the business of destruction. You can't be building cities, your own home, your own family, when you're off at war with another one. You need a stable home life so that you can go out and do God's will. The Word of God also has a lot to say about homes, about stability. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it mentions about that solid rock that no other man can lay except for Jesus Christ. And that is, of course, your faith in Christ and doing things His way. And you can help, you can only help yourself and others whenever you are in a position of power or advantage or authority. You can only help others to Christ whenever you yourself are on the solid rock. You can pull them up onto that rock if they want to be pulled up. You can help others to know about Jesus when you yourself are sure of Jesus. Because if you're not sure of Jesus, you're not helping others, you're helping yourself whenever you tell them about Jesus. If you are doing your best to work your way to heaven, every soul that you tell about Jesus is not for their benefit, it's for your benefit. So we need the assurance of salvation. And that allows us to act out of love and not out of selfishness. It's not about us. It's about God. There's direction in the Bible about how spouses should treat each other. How families should treat each other. How parents should raise their children. Not as their best buds, but as their parents, as their teachers, as their mentors, and maybe someday as a friend. But not a best bud, not someone you look to for advice. It even tells us how to treat our neighbours and our countrymen. I think the Lord said, go into Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the world, preaching the gospel to every creature, or words to that effect. That's your neighbours, your countrymen, and foreigners, even as far away as you can get. It even has advice about working. The Bible says, look at the examples in the animal kingdom. Look at the ant who lays stores by in the good times so that when the hard times hit, she's got food to eat. But goes on to say, if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. He shouldn't expect to live off of the backs of other people. I know there are times when people can't. But if someone chooses not to do anything, the Bible says they shouldn't eat. I guarantee you, an empty belly is a great incentivizer to do something. It even goes on, it goes to saying about looking after your own home. It says, through much sloth the roof falleth through. It talks about church. It talks about turning up at church. It talks about supporting church. It talks about praising and praying in church and preaching in church. Every bit of day-to-day life can be done right. But even the day-to-day lives that we lead, sometimes we need a wee step aside from them. Anyone recalls to mind the time whenever the disciples were ministering to people and people were getting the idea, hold on a wee second, this is the Messiah. He can do things that only God can do. And they were swamped with people. And as the Bible records, they were so busy tending to other people, they didn't even have time themselves to eat. And the Lord said, come apart into a desert place and rest a while. Now, it's nice to have that. A lot of people don't appreciate it. And they don't understand that an engine, even a car engine with a full petrol tank, it can't run forever. Even should you run the engine and open the petrol tank and fill it, it can't run forever. There's a time when the tires have to be changed. There's a time when the engine needs fresh oil. There's a time when there's new cooling fluids and stuff put into it. And we're no different. We need a time when we can belt out our praises and lift up our prayers. But we also need a time where we can allow God to talk to us. We need this time. We need peace and quiet from the world, because otherwise that's all we're going to think about. Just to open the Bible, not to look for a sermon, but just to open the Bible and read it. To go before God in prayer, not because we're on the make again, but because we just want to go before the Lord in prayer. you'll find that whenever you leave this space for God and give Him that time, that there's time enough for everything. When you give God His dues, you'll find that you have time for everything that's important. I know that not everybody's going to appreciate what the Lord has to offer. And some are even going to hate you and persecute you for it. They are unaware of what God can do for a soul. I remember seeing years ago about a competition where a number of artists were asked to produce a picture that displayed peace perfectly. And there were all of these beautiful scenery pieces of calm lakes and sprawling forests and mountains and clouds and things that just, they looked calm and serene. But the winning picture was a picture of a mother bird on a nest on the branch of a tree that was overhanging a waterfall, and it was thundering away in the background. And when asked why this picture won the competition, it was because even with the raging torrent and the thunderous noise around about, you can still be at peace in your nest, especially when you have the Lord. And that is the promise of God. We will never be at full peace in this world until these sinful bodies are done, but we can have a measure of peace. The things that's written in the Bible, the promises that God makes to us for right now, is one of them is the peace that passeth all understanding. And only God can give it, because the world can't give it. It says it will give it to it. It gives us many ways whereby we think we can get it, but we can never get it. It says if you fix your mind on good things and tell God about everything, the peace of God that passeth all understanding will keep your heart and mind through the cause of Christ Jesus. It says that when you come to Him, He'll never turn you away. If you genuinely come looking to God, He will never turn you away. Your salvation is secure. He'll never cast you out, which means no matter what you do, God is still going to make sure you get to heaven once you've trusted Him as your Savior. And He gives liberally to all those who come to Him, especially wisdom. If you think of what the many promises are that God has for those that love Him, one that springs to mind is a crown of life. All of that and the other crowns will leave at His feet. But God has a promise of a body that's never going to get old or cold or tired or have another ache, pain, or fear ever again. Every little bit of sin nature gone. And no matter what He asks us to do, we'll be more than fit and capable to do it, because God Himself will be giving us the energy to do so. Our entire existences will be peaceful existences. But He also promises us peace now. And peace now is best found on your hands and knees in the presence of God, and on your feet in the service of God. And He will make sure that that service dovetails perfectly into everything else you need to do, so that you can look back at your life and you can say, whenever it draws to a close, I did it the right way. I served the King of Kings and I am not afraid to meet Him. And now you can know that that promise will be made good whenever you do what God asks you to do. And there's a lot to be said for having that assurance in your life. A life lived for Jesus Christ does not have to be fire down from heaven, great pits in the earth opening up and closing again. It doesn't have to be droughts. It doesn't have to be devils being brought to heel or massacres of your enemies. Sometimes it can just be getting on with being a good child of God and being a good husband, wife, son, or daughter. And just doing what God asks you to do. Staying by the stuff, making a home that people can be at home in and children can be raised up in. There's lots to do in this life, and it can be exciting. It's certainly very interesting. But there's also times of peace and quiet. It's one of the reasons why, even at the very beginning of the Bible, the Lord rested on the Sabbath day as an example to what we should be doing from all the cares and worries of the world, so that we can gather our wits and restore our minds and bodies and be ready to face our lives for the next 6 days. Peace and quiet's very handy. We can all do with a little bit of it. And I pray that the Lord provide that for you. Man, thank you for your good time. We're going to sing our closing hymn, if I can just find it. I had it marked earlier on. Did I untick it? Alright, we'll sing 260. 260. We'll make this our closing hymn for the night. And then we will be dismissed. 260. He is able to deliver thee. Please bless us as we part company. Please watch over us, Lord, as we go through the rest of the week. Please see us safely home and back at the next appointment. We love you and thank you, Father. Amen. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you.